We're carrying on with our series, In the Shadow of the Cross. We've previously looked at the scribes and the Pharisees, the common people and the Roman authorities who were all around the cross. But today we're going to look at the dying thieves. Now Luke calls them criminals. Matthew and Mark refer to them as rebels and robbers. John says, just calls them others. There were two others, one on either side of Jesus, and Jesus was in the middle. So there are three crosses, and you know, if you're thinking of the shadow of the cross, we're not quite sure who was in the shadow of who. Did the shadow fall on the penitent thief or on the other? But it's important to say at the outset, this situation fulfilled a verse in Isaiah, you know, Isaiah 53, you know, where it talks about Jesus being despised and rejected by people. But right at the end, verse 12, it says, "Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." So Jesus is crucified between two criminals whilst at the same time asking God to forgive them. Now, the first criminal, he's derisive, he's aggressive, he uses sarcasm like others who do it to Jesus. But the penitent criminal, the penitent thief, he fears God. He realizes that unlike the two criminals, Jesus is innocent. So just a quick review of the passage. Jesus, an innocent man, dying amongst the outcasts. One thief, one criminal says he's innocent. As actually, if you think about it, did Pilate and Herod and the centurion. The thief says what he does after Jesus asks his Father to forgive those around him. So he responds after Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." He calls him Jesus. Now, I may be wrong, but I think this is the only place in the Bible where somebody specifically refers to Jesus by name. There's quite a few times, you know, people call Jesus teacher, rabbi. The demons call him Son of God. He's called Lord. But this, I think, is the only place where somebody calls Jesus, Jesus. The only place recorded. You presumably would hope that Mary and Joseph were referred to him as Jesus and so on. But actually, in the Bible, this is the only place where somebody calls him Jesus. And this actually points to deeper meaning and a hope. Because you remember at the start of Matthew, verses 20 and 21, angel appears to Joseph in a dream. Says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus means God will save. And that's the name, and therefore the hope, that the dying thief speaks out. Jesus. The name that saves. The name that's above every name. So the pitiful gasp of a dying man is Jesus. And that's sufficient. He doesn't ask to be saved, to be rescued, but he asks only, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And again, it echoes back to a verse in the Old Testament, in Psalms 25, verse 7. "Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, O Lord, are good." I think the thief's saying, "Don't remember me according to my wickedness, but remember me according to your goodness because you can save. Or also, and this is a thing I hadn't picked up really, you remember we were doing a while back about the story of Joseph. And Joseph had a number of dreams for the baker and the cupbearer to Pharaoh. And when he was interpreting the dream of the cupbearer, Joseph predicted that the cupbearer would be released in 3 days. You think significance of 3 days. And he asks the cupbearer, "Remember me when it is well with you." And it's not just when Jesus comes in his kingdom, because that implies almost, you know, Jesus, remember me when you come back. It says, the thief says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's when you're delivered from your suffering, Lord, and you come into your kingdom, remember me then. And Jesus on the road to Emmaus, after he is resurrected, he talks about, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? So Jesus suffers, dies, is resurrected, and enters his glory. And the thief says, he doesn't say, if you come into your kingdom, like he's crossing his fingers and hope for the best. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And it strikes me, when we were talking before about the resurrection, and it's like Mary is the first evangelist, the first one to speak of Jesus' resurrection. And you wonder, is this penitent criminal the first believer? Because you've got all these folk gathered around the cross, including Jesus' relatives, including some of the disciples, and they still don't really believe because they're surprised when he's resurrected. It's like you can imagine their sorrow as they see Jesus dying, but they're maybe not thinking about Jesus really being the Messiah and coming in power, entering his kingdom. But this thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's almost like he's the first believer. And there are two things. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Criminal's probably thinking, at some point in the future when you come into your kingdom, Lord. But Jesus says, today. And there are actually a number of times in Luke where Luke emphasizes, it's like the immediacy of things with Jesus. Remember when Jesus first got up and spoke in the synagogue? And it says, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Later on with Zechariah, or not Zechariah, Zacchaeus. Remember the little man climbed up the tree? Zacchaeus, he says, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And he says to the criminal, today you will be with me in paradise. God's gift is immediate. So for the criminal, there's no long or anxious wait. It's not at the end of time. Today you will be with me in paradise. And then this word, paradise. What's that referring to? Well, paradise comes from an ancient Persian word for garden, a place of rest and refreshment. And what do you think when you listen, thinking about paradise and the garden? Refers back to the Garden of Eden before the fall. And if you remember the passage in Genesis, you remember where Abraham and Lot, Abraham says to Lot, look, there's not enough room for the two of us here. Our herdsmen are quarreling. Why don't you choose to go to one place? And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And it always struck me, Lot chooses what's called the Plain of the Jordan. And the reason it strikes me in some of the translations, it calls it the Kikar of the Jordan. It's like an area that's shaped like a plate, a circular plane of the Jordan, which says it's well watered like the garden of the Lord. So Lot chooses the best bit and gives Abraham the hilly ground. But the well-watered garden of the Lord again speaks of Eden, a beautiful place. Now, I don't know if any of you are gardeners. I'm not. The most I can do is operate a lawnmower and cut the grass. But if you ever come to our house and think, oh, that's a beautiful garden, it's all down to Linda. Linda spends hours weeding in the garden to make it look beautiful. But paradise, the afterlife, is we're in a well-watered garden of the Lord and you don't have to do any weeding. It is a beautiful place. And Jesus says to the criminal, today you will be with me in paradise. Can you imagine how the thief felt? This guy, this criminal, like Jesus, is suffering immensely. He's hanging on a cross. He's got nails through his hands and his feet. He's in a bad place. But yet, the Savior looks on him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. There's a song by Don Francisco from years ago, showing my age. And the song is called Too Small a Price, and it's sung as if it's the criminal singing about the events. And at the end, or towards the end, it says, well, the shouts and curses didn't stop even when the sunlight ceased when Jesus dies. But somehow in the midst of it, my soul had been released. And though the agony continued, it was still too small a price to be allowed to hear those words and to die beside the Christ. This criminal has lived a life that he shouldn't have lived. He's done a lot of bad things. He's at the end and he's got no hope. He's about to die. There's no way out. And yet the Savior says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. There's a video that you can get on YouTube of Alistair Begg, who I know I've quoted before, and I think Jim actually shared it on the men's WhatsApp a while back, where Alistair Begg is speaking at a church, and the sermon is called The Man on the Middle Cross. And I'm going to quote from bits of it. Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very quickly revert to faith plus works, as in it's not just enough to have faith in Jesus, we need to do things as the basis of our salvation. But a question is, if you were to die tonight and you're at the gates of heaven, what would you say to get in? And if you're to answer that in the first person, you've immediately gone wrong. You know, well, why should we let you in? Well, because I did this, because I believe, because I have faith, because I am this good person. You've got it wrong. You have to say, because Jesus, that's the only way we're getting into paradise, because Jesus did it all. It's nothing to do with what we've done. So you think of this, the second criminal, the penitent criminal. How does it work out for him when he gets up to the gates of heaven? You know, because he's arrived at the gates. He previously, not that long ago, he's been cursing Jesus along with his other criminal. And you think, well, you've never been in a Bible study. You've never been baptized. You don't know a thing about committed church membership, and yet you're standing here. How did you make it? You can imagine an angel saying, "What are you doing here? You know, I don't see your name on the list." So he says, "What are you doing here?" And the criminal goes, "I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know?" "I don't know. I'm here." And the angel goes, "Well, let me go and get my supervisor." So he gets a supervising angel, if there is such an angel. Don't know if that would be an archangel. And the supervising angel comes on and he says, "Well, what's going on here? I think I've got a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of the justification by faith?" Criminal goes, "I don't know. Never heard of it in my life." "What about the doctrine of scripture?" Criminal's just looking around. "No idea, mate." So the supervising angel eventually says, "Well, on what basis are you here?" And the criminal goes, "The guy on the middle cross said I could come. Jesus said I could come. That's the only way we're getting into heaven. The only way we're getting into paradise is because Jesus says we can come. Our salvation depends on Jesus, on only Jesus." And that's what we need to focus on each day. Otherwise, we fall into the trap of thinking, salvation depends on me as well. I have a part to play in it. But praise God, it doesn't. It depends on Jesus. That's what brings us hope. See, I don't know about you, but there are times I think, well, you know, I go to church every Sunday. I was going to say I do my best to dress nicely, but I don't. But, you know, you can turn up in your Sunday best in church. You go every Sunday. You faithfully pay in your envelopes. And if you miss a week, you come back and you've got two envelopes. You do all the right things. But that's not it. It's, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? So what does this story say to us? Well, Romans, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for this no-hoper on the cross beside him. The other one was sarcastic, obviously didn't believe, but he was poking fun at Jesus. There's still badness in him, but this thief realized who Jesus was. And if you think about it, this thief, he couldn't buy his salvation. It wasn't anything to do with his works. He had been a bad guy all his life, and he wasn't going anywhere. He was on the cross to die. But yet, Jesus recognized this guy, had recognized who Jesus was. So even though there was no hope, yet there was hope. And again, I don't know what you feel, but have you ever heard of imposter syndrome? It's like, you're doing a certain job or whatever, and you think, I'm not really good at this, and people are going to find out what I'm really like. And there's a way in which each day, I'm sure you all feel like me, does Jesus really know what I'm like? You know, he can't love me that much because I'm bad inside. But look at the thief, bad all his life, and Jesus looks on him with compassion and says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. But there's the thing, the hope about us being saved because of Jesus. But there's also, I think, an attitude we have to be aware of, that I think sometimes we can find it hard to believe about God's forgiveness and his mercy. If you think, those folk don't deserve it. I'm okay. I'm reasonable enough. I say I pay my envelopes in every week. But what about those folk? How come they're getting into heaven? I can understand me getting in, but what about them? It's God who judges who gets into heaven. And there's a way in which I think we sometimes feel, yeah, it's good for for Jesus to love the people who are like us. We're decent folk. But what about the drug addicts and the adulterers, the thieves, the prostitutes, the work colleague I don't like? Surely they're not going to get in. So do we sometimes hope that heaven's prepared for the nice people like us? Or do we see that Jesus gives hope to everyone? So it's not about you, it's about him. It's about surrendering to him, acknowledging him. Have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner. So how are we saved? We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we shall be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, the thief confessed a simple truth. In the sense, it's maybe not like your normal prayers, he prayed a simple prayer of faith. Jesus, the God who saves, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And paradise, the well-watered garden of the Lord. How much do we consider what things are going to be like in future? Probably the greatest Protestant theologians of the last century, Karl Barth, he was the one, and you've probably heard me say this a few times, into deep theology, and he was on a tour of the States, and somebody said, look, what's the crux of the Christian faith? Expecting some deep answer. And he said, it was a song I learned on my mother's knee. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That sums it up. But at another time, somebody asked Karl Barth, who's the first person you want to meet when you get into heaven? And he thought about it for a moment and said, Mozart. Again, no, you got it wrong. The first person you want to meet when you get into heaven is Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's who we want to see. Jesus in the well-watered garden of the Lord. And it's because we know we're not worthy, but Jesus has compassion on us. So the thing is, if we're a believer, we need to hold on to the fact that Jesus forgives us. And it's not about trying to pass an exam or do lots of good things. It's about resting in the knowledge that Jesus loves us and Jesus forgives us. And that's what's going to get into heaven. It's not that and something. It's just loving Jesus, confessing him as Lord. But if you're not a believer, there's hope. There's hope today. In the same way that for the thief on the cross, as I said, he had done bad things all his life. He wasn't going to be able to do anything good in future because he was just about to die. But yet, Jesus said to him, today, you will be with me in paradise, because the thief had faith. And just focus on that word, today. Because I know you can think, sure, I'll put it off until I'm just about to die. You think you're going to die at midnight, you'll die at 11:30. It's not enough to keep putting it off. Today is the day of salvation.